This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA, who's getting you closer to the game than ever with exclusive prizes. Enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside. Enjoy responsibly. 2024 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. Michelob Ultra registered courtside sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 21 and up. Begins October 19th, 2023 and ends June 12th, 2024. Multiple entry periods. See official rules at MichelobUltra.com/rules for free entry, entry deadlines, prices, and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California, where it has stopped raining for the first time in 4 days. We'll do the traffic on the ones coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on our program today. Right on a Wednesday in the middle of a part of the sports calendar that is just yearning for live games. And we are going to get them tomorrow night in the NBA second half of the season. We're going to get it tonight on something you could see right here on Roku through Apple TV. The MLS season starts tonight. The regular season starts tonight. All 34 games can be checked out right here through your Roku portal for every single game, for every single team in the MLS action. And Taylor Twellman will be joining us in just about 20 minutes' time to help preview the upcoming season, in which Lionel Messi will be playing the entire season this time around for Inter Miami. So that'll be a fun conversation with him in hour number one. And then hour number three, Mike Florio will be joining us from Pro Football Talk, because 1 week from today, I'll be sitting in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's going to be start of the NFL scouting combine next week. That's going to be a good time for all. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on, brother? How are
Rich,
you?
Not a whole lot, man. Good to see you.
I'm good. What's DJ up? Mikey D is back. Good to see you,
hey,
Mike.
Good to see you, Rich. How you doing?
So you're just parachuting in, and then we'll see you next week.
You got me. I'm here till the end of the week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because that's not what I heard at the end of yesterday's program.
No, I wasn't supposed to be here tomorrow.
Okay.
But I am.
And now you're free.
I'm here.
Oh, good. Good to see you.
Did you tell Feller this news? Is he informed?
No, I didn't want to text him that late at
is
night.
He showing up tomorrow?
No, I'll let him know.
Okay. You guys, excuse me. Guys, he's going to button this up.
Yeah.
I don't have faith.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Mike's here all week. Try the veal. Tip your server.
There we go. Fantastic. So we're sitting here in, as I said, the Rich Eisen Show studios in Los Angeles, California, on the Roku channel, and it is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV. It's free on the Roku app, as well as the RokuChannel.com on the old internet tubes, Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners coast to coast, over 70 radio affiliates and growing. We're adding one in New Orleans coming up very shortly, so we're excited about that. And the Bayou, those folks there can hear us every single day, which is exciting. We say hello to our podcast listeners through the Cumulus Podcast Network. It's your right to listen to us whenever you want. And then there's everybody out there who might want to catch up on our show through our Roku channel collection page, which is a fancy way of saying we're on demand as well on the Roku channel. And also, we say hello to anybody who wants to check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, closing in on 750,000 subscribers on that page as well. Very proud of that. So, listen, the NBA second half of the season starts tomorrow night. It's really like a 6-week run to the playoffs anyway, right? We always have football on the brain here, and why not? And we're waiting to hear later on today. I did not know the St. Brown brothers, Equanimeous and Amon-Ra, have a podcast of their own, similar to, I guess, the Kelsey's Pod or something like that. If your brother's in the NFL and you're playing, do a podcast together. They had Justin Fields on their podcast yesterday, and they're dropping it today. I'll be straight up with you. I'm very keen to hear, because they asked him flat out about him no longer following the Chicago Bears on Instagram, or he had followed them. He'd never follow them. I have no idea. We're waiting to hear what he actually said, because they sent out a teaser of him saying, "I'm glad you asked me that," and then we don't know the answer. But we're all assuming the answer to the Chicago Bears first overall draft choice decision will wind up being Caleb Williams out of USC, which then puts Justin Fields in play. And the question is who not only would want Justin Fields, but any quarterback that might be out there in the draft or any quarterback that might be out there when free agency starts and the window to start talking to potential free agents opens up on March 11th. We'll do the math for you. With it being a leap year, that's less than 20 days away. So decisions need to get made. Nobody placed or slapped the franchise tag on anybody yesterday, so we're still trying to figure out what teams are going to be doing. And the draft is a large piece of the puzzle. So I guess use a phrase from The Fugitive. I just found a big piece. And, you know, Dr. Richard Kimmel places the phone down right there in the house of the one-armed man.
It was on last night.
In Chicago. By the way.
AMC, I was dialed.
You know, it's so funny when that happens or anybody ever says a few good men, it was on last night. It's like, yeah, it's always on.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Well, I watched
it's like Law and Order.
the Beatles.
You know what I saw last night? I saw Law and Order. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Where'd you see that? Everywhere? All right.
Yeah.
But in Chicago, it's going to be Caleb Williams' world. And my buddy, Daniel Jeremiah, who's going to join us next Monday in advance of the combine, when he and I spend an insane amount of money, amount of time together in Indianapolis. And then he'll be on the following Monday after that. He doesn't know it yet, but he always is after the combine when we're going to finally get a good sense of what these kids look like in the draft. He has put out an NFL mock draft 2.0, which is a perfect way here on this Wednesday as we're waiting for the MLS season to start tonight and the NBA season to restart tomorrow and Major League Baseball to start having more than just pitchers and catchers report and start playing games. Perfect fodder for us to talk about DJ's mock draft 2.0 because it is a conversation starter. And again, DJ does not take into account what a trade would look like. He doesn't do that until his final mock draft. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, did he not predict last year the Texans would go and get the second and third overall picks as well? It was Stroud, and I think he might have done that last year. But anyway, long story short is there's no draft trades in this. So it's the same top 10 draft order.
He did predict that.
He did, right?
Yeah, and it's mock draft 4.0.
Right, and it's his final mock draft. This is mock draft 2.0, so we're halfway home for DJ.
I know you love this, DJ. It's mock draft season.
Well, but it gives you, you know, an idea of where he thinks players are in terms of their talent value and what his ear to the ground is telling him a team might be interested in. So he's got Caleb Williams going to the Bears. And then he's got Drake May going to the Washington Commanders, which means the Patriots would have Jaden Daniels sitting right there. And shortly after being named the head coach of New England, Gerard Mayo said that they were going to take the best player at the most important position, which sounds like a quarterback. And instead, Daniel Jeremiah says they would turn down the chance to get a quarterback, not just any quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and say, no thanks, we're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Ooh.
And bring him to New England. And I can't wait to get DJ on here.
Chris started to shake.
To walk us through all that.
Just got so many visions in my head, so many touchdowns. It's like Randy Moss 07 all over again.
And let's just pause for a moment and hit that here. Because they're not getting Marvin Harrison Jr. to catch passes, with all due respect, from Bailey Zappi. And it ain't Mac Jones either.
Hell no.
So the question is, do they go and get another quarterback later on that night, on Thursday night, by trading back into the first round? Because you're going to want, if you're drafting a quarterback, you're going to want to get a fifth year of contractual control in that individual, which is why the Ravens popped in the last pick of the 2018 draft and snagged Lamar Jackson to get a fifth year of contractual control. So you pick up a fifth year option. Obviously, drafting someone in the second round, top of the second round, would be possible. And I know you're sitting there and going, Michael Penix,
Bo Nix,
if they're
Falls,
available.
Yeah.
But if you're New England, do you just start with a rookie quarterback? what might New England do at the quarterback position in free agency when you've got folks like Kirk Cousins sitting out there and Baker Mayfield might be sitting out there? Or
Fields.
I don't know, because Fields would definitely be made available. And at this point in time, it's entirely possible that New England has flipped a draft choice to Chicago and already had Justin Fields in their midst to take Marvin Harrison Jr. So it wouldn't be a surprise. Oh, you're turning down a quarterback on draft night. They'll already maybe have one in hand. And this is the sort of stuff that goes on in DJ's mind when he says Marvin Harrison Jr. winds up there. Keep that in mind as we return to his mock draft. He's got the Arizona Cardinals taking Malik Nabers of LSU, wide receiver, and saying, okay, Kyler, here's your new number one. He's got Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame, being Jim Harbaugh's first draft choice as the Los Angeles Chargers head coach.
That tracks.
This tracks because Jim builds in the trenches, and he builds to mash, and he builds to dominate, and he builds to go
protect Herbie, man.
Your quarterback.
Yep.
But that's also interesting because Roma Dunze would be sitting out there.
Chargers need that.
And then he's got the Giants sitting at sixth, and that's where he lands Jaden Daniels from LSU, which would set the New York sports scene aflame on the spot, that you bring a quarterback in when Daniel Jones is under contract in the manner in which he's under contract. Mm-hmm. Now, I know he's gotten hurt. He's coming back from a knee injury. He's coming back from a neck. He may not be ready. But are they going to throw a rookie quarterback out there in New York City and start from scratch? Which would make it fascinating, because again, you know, Joe Shane in his exit press conference when talked about, do you think Daniel Jones is not only the guy, can be ready? Do you think he's still the guy to win? Or I goes, yes, I do. And that's when I said that those are the answers that can get somebody got one day. If that answer is incorrect, Jaden Daniels showing up to become the quarterback of the New York Giants.
That's fun.
Which would then put not just one, but two rookie quarterbacks in the NFC East. Daniels versus May would be a conversation to be had every time the Giants and Washington play each other, because that was the choice the Commanders made. Leaving him available for the Giants would be just a chef's kiss type of conversation. And you put Daniels and May in the division with Dak and Hurts, and off we go.
Ooh.
He's got the Titans taking Olu Fashanu, the tackle out of Penn State. And then how about this one? Raheem Morris's first draft choice as the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He's got my guy. From the University of Michigan, he's got J.J. McCarthy going eighth overall to Atlanta.
That's hot.
If we were supposing here that the reason why the Patriots would take Marvin Harrison Jr. is because the quarterback's already been secured prior to the draft for New England, and we just threw it out there, Justin Fields could be one of those guys, right?
Sure.
Then Fields isn't going to Atlanta, because Atlanta would not have answered their quarterback position question during free agency. And they go and use their first overall pick on J.J. McCarthy. And I'll just say this. I am biased when it comes to him, but I'm also knowledgeable when it comes to him. You could say it's a biased knowledge. But I've seen him grow up, and I've seen him throw, and I've seen him play, and I've seen him lead, and he is all that plus the biscuit. I'm telling you that. And he's young.
He's young. 20.
He is really young.
Yeah.
And you're getting him where he's still growing. And I'm wondering if they'd throw him out there right away. I think he's ready. He's a national champion. He's a leader at best. And just to give everyone else a heads up on that front, there's 18 Michigan Wolverines at the combine. And giving everyone a heads up. Might be a tough watch occasionally over a four-day period. Me having a live microphone. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, goodness.
Might stress the letter M in the word combine quite a bit.
Well, you've had some practice. Still
a heads up. Just a heads up. Just a heads up. Yeah. 4-day broadcast. There's 18 of them. I'll pace it. But J.J. McCarthy going 8th overall.
That seems high.
4 quarterbacks in the top 10.
Well,
it's not as high as Jim when he came on this show. Said he would be first overall.
Well done.
Rome Odunze going to the Bears. Hey, listen, Chicago fans, you walk out of the first hour and a half of the NFL draft with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze to go with DJ Moore.
Big winners.
Hello. Hello.
Big winners.
Hello. That's it. That's the only word I would say is hello. And then Talese Fuaga. Jets take the kid from Oregon State as the tackle. That one is, I think every mock draft, that's the one that's written in like Sharpie. Because what a hot, holy heck of a mess that offensive line was last year for the Jets. And here we are again back at the draft store getting ourselves somebody who we're hoping is the next DeBrickashaw Ferguson to just place there and block and road grade and protect. And if it's Aaron Rodgers' world in which they're currently living in, you know, it's protecting Rodgers. And that makes sense. What a top 10 that was for a mock draft.
I love it. I'm sold. Sold. Pats can get Fields and then take Marvin Harrison.
You really would be happy with Justin Fields?
I wanted Fields in the draft originally. And but, when the Bears traded up, I knew.
You're not. Let's dig into this after Taylor Twellman. So we don't want to get to him on time.
I'm going to pick up the fifth-year option.
Yeah, dude, it's not just any. It's not just you're not just getting Justin Fields at 11th overall.
I know. A lot going on.
But you're also getting Justin Fields 39 starts into his career as well. So you're not getting somebody green off the campus of the Ohio State. You're getting somebody who's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And if he thinks that what he went through in Chicago is a lot, wait till he gets a hold of, you know what, EEI?
Northeast Media.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Good luck.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Happy to hear who you think you want your team to take. And anything else that's going on in the sports world these days, the MLS season begins tonight. And Taylor Twellman will join us to give us a preview. Apple TV's Taylor Twellman, one of our favorites to talk soccer with. He'll join us on the pitch right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a Wednesday.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hey.
Hey.
I just love-boated you back in.
Hey.
Who promises something for everyone?
What would you have liked to have played if you guest starred on the Love Boat?
What do you mean?
What would you want your arc and your story to be?
Oh, Adrian Barbeau's friend.
I don't know why that's funny. You I never saw the Love Boat. I'm just asking.
You know who Adrian Barbeau is, though, because I showed you a picture last week.
All right, hold on.
You know who she is.
Adrian Barbeau? Oh, I see.
This guy. I don't know why that's funny.
I didn't stutter.
Oh, yeah.
You said it with your chest. Much like Adrian Barbeau would.
Who wants to be more than just friends.
Oh, got it.
And okay. Needs the help of Doc to bring us together.
Got it. She's got Instagram.
Until I kick Doc's ass off the Lido deck.
Okay.
And then, of course, it works out in the end.
Wouldn't you need Isaac's help?
And then, Isaac was a good one, too.
And then we send things to Fantasy Island.
Oh, right.
You mean that wasn't a fantasy?
Smiles, everyone.
No? Yeah, I guess it was.
Smiles, everyone.
I'm
smiles.
Glad I asked.
You set a course for adventure. Your mind on a new romance.
That's it.
Great.
By the way, they're using that theme song. I saw a commercial for the cruise line that the Love Boat was.
Princess.
We can't say it, Mike.
Jeez. I'm trying not to say these things. These are things that, you know.
They're not paying.
Yeah.
Dude.
Goodness.
I'm sorry.
So they're using that, and do I explain to my kids, like, this is actually a reference to when I was your age.
The Love Boat was a great show.
They're not gonna...
No, it wasn't.
You didn't like The Love Boat?
Of course I did.
Love Boat. But he's not gonna say it was a great show.
Like a great show.
It's like something for half of Hollywood to do when they weren't, like, playing tug of war on Battle of the Network Stars.
We need those days back.
How can we bring back Battle of the Network Stars?
Oh, that was a good show, too.
We should.
With you as host.
Well, you need a network first.
That's
back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
Battle of the
I'm sitting at
stars.
The Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. Now that's an idea. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tonight, right here on the Roku portal, you can get your MLS season pass and watch the season premiere of this new season of MLS Action. 8 Eastern time on Apple TV through the MLS season pass. Jake Zivin and Taylor Twellman on the call of Lionel Messi and the rest of Inter Milan. That also includes Luis Suarez taking on Real Salt Lake in Miami. Joining us here for Rich on the Pitch, presented by Apple TV, is our friend Taylor Twellman back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Hold on a minute. I'm just getting Messi a cappuccino and a croissant. Just bear with me here. You good? You cool? All right, good. He's ready. Awesome.
What sort of croissant? Is it a butter croissant? I mean,
he's an almond croissant. He's an almond croissant. Although, if you guys paid attention last year, he ordered some pizza that Argentines claim is pizza. And I looked at it. Even Chicago was like, are you sure that's pizza? So bear with me here on his taste with food.
Well, the way he was introduced to much of the sports world was kind of like an Us magazine, how he shops like us, right? Like, wasn't he in a Publix getting sugar cereal for his kids in a cart, like pushing a cart around? Wasn't he doing that last year?
Yeah. What's interesting, Rich, is what a coincidence, since one of the biggest sponsors of Inter Miami is Publix.
How about that?
I think he made High Noon $50 million just with the social media post behind him.
You know what? You knew he could do whatever he wanted. When he went into the 15 items or less aisle with like three carts full of stuff. That's when we knew he was at home. Okay. That's when
I got a great story for you, because I'm down in Fort Lauderdale, obviously, for the game tonight. And I'm walking around town and I step into this barber shop, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of busy. And I walk in and there's messy stuff all over. Apparently, this is the shop where he first needed a haircut. He walked in with two of his boys, waited in line, and said, hey, I'd like to get cleaned up.
And he got cleaned up. That's it.
He got cleaned up, but like, that's how normal he is, Rich. It's the most absurd thing. This is a global superstar. He's on the same par as Taylor Swift, as I've brought up many a times. Mm. He's walking into a barbershop, waiting, and all the barbers are looking going, hey, wait a minute, who's the 5'7 dude that just walked in here looking like Messi asking to get cleaned up?
It's the genuine article needing to get cleaned
up.
It is. So what is it going to look like with him as a full season participant this year?
It's a great question. It's a really good question. And I was on your show kicking off last season, first year with Apple TV, and we had inclinations that Messi was interested, but we didn't know if he was really going to come through. He does that. He blows the doors off of it with League's Cup. But then they fail to make the playoffs. They only win one of their last eight games. They give up 15 goals in that, which was second most in the league at that point. And so they really had the entire offseason. And yet, Rich, they go on this preseason tour that I've never seen before in this league. 23,000 miles all over the world, basically showcasing Inter Miami, the pink, the league. And now all of a sudden they've got to come here, and everybody and their mother has them as the front runners to win four trophies. Rich, I don't. The one thing this league has taught us is that it is built very similar to the NFL. Parity is king, and it always has been. And so when you're building your roster on four players over the age of 34, and Alba, Busquets, Messi, and Suarez, at some point, that thing, you're going to need your depth. You're going to need your youth to come through. They've already lost one of their key young players to an ACL. I think it becomes a better story because I think there's going to be a little struggle. I think there's going to be a little struggle for Inter Miami and Messi, and I think it just makes for a better story as I travel around to take care of their cappuccinos and and croissants.
Almond croissants. Don't forget the almonds. So do we expect him to play all 34? I mean, like, what's the expectation level of seeing him? Certainly if, you know, obviously when he comes through Los Angeles, we're going to be keenly aware of tickets and things of that nature. What about that, Taylor?
It's a great question, because when you look at 2024, this is a massive year for the sport in this country, mm-hmm. and quite honestly around the world. 2024 Copa America and the European Championships for the first time ever will be at the exact same time. That Copa America tournament is in the United States. If Argentina goes to the final, he'll miss 1/5 of the regular season. He'll miss at least 6 games. So that's where Inter Miami is going to be tested. But Rich, I'm going to answer that question with this. I was down here for the last 10 days. Tata Martino, the manager, basically said, when asked, what is the most important competition for you guys to win right now? He said, I'm not even looking to July, August, September, MLS Cup, and at the end of the year. It's CONCACAF Champions Cup. And because of Copa America this summer, we have to get off to a flying start because we're going to be missing some key players. He's already come to the recognizing they're up against it to be the best team in the regular season, but they can win the CONCACAF Champions Cup at the beginning of the year and maybe win MLS Cup at the end of the year. I think that is where the focus is, but make no mistake about it. Messi's not going to play all 34 games because of Copa America going on during the regular season.
Taylor Twellman here, Rich on the Pitch, presented by Apple TV right now. Again, the 34-game regular season for all MLS squads begins tonight. And again, you, Taylor, with Jake Zivin on the call, 8 Eastern on Apple TV between Real Salt Lake and the aforementioned Inter Miami. So tell me who you think is the best chance to win the cup.
That's a great season. It's a good one. I think if you stay, the Eastern Conference is exponentially better than the Western Conference. I could probably give you for the next 25, 30 minutes, I won't, 5-6 teams in the East that could easily win it. I think Columbus is the sexiest team in the league. I love their arrogance and confidence in the way they go about things and the way they're built around some youth with some key veterans in some spots. Columbus defending champions, I think they're the favorite out of the East. The West is a little more of a crapshoot. It just is, because LAFC had to have some turnover, but I still like what they're doing. Also, keep an eye on them this summer. I think they're going to bring a big name, if not two, this year. Antoine Griezmann, Lewandowski, Modric, whoever that may be in that line. Seattle Sounders, I think, are the favorite in the West. But you and I could probably go through 4 or 5 other teams that could surprise teams, because the West isn't on par with the East. I would say Columbus defending champions, because they are game in and game out the sexiest team to watch. I think that's the way I would go answering that question on February 21st.
Didn't LAFC sign Lloris as well?
Yes, they did. World Cup winning goalkeeper, and they need that experience. And by the way, what does he speak? French? Who does he play with? Antoine Griezmann? Ha! Interesting how that works, isn't it?
Well, it's going to make El Tráfico a little bit more interesting, right, this time around with the LAFC and the Galaxy, because the Galaxy, if I'm not mistaken, has improved its standing. That's the team that everybody here in LA clearly knew.
Absolutely.
Until Will Ferrell and gang just came together and say, let's start playing, you know, in the old sports arena space. So what do you have for me there, Taylor?
I mean, Rich, LA Galaxy is that old actor that's won 6 or 7 fantastic Oscars. Yeah, keeps taking a role where you're like, don't know. Like, they're trying to turn the corner so fast now because LAFC has come in, they're blown the doors off of marketing and everything else, that now all of a sudden they're not relying just on saying, no, David Beckham's Zlatan Ibrahimovic played for us, come to the LA Galaxy. It makes it better. But mark my words, you're going to call me before July 4th when that game's at the Rose Bowl and there's 85,000 plus people there. You and I are going to be talking about a big name or two representing each team. I just believe LA, after Copa America and the European Championships are done, that is oftentimes historically when you see that 29 to 32 year old that's waffling between whether or not he stays or goes. They take a chance. They go for it. Both Galaxy and LAFC right now in February are talking to some big names.
Tell me some names. Taylor Twellman here from Apple TV on the Rich Eisen Show. MLS season starts tonight. Some new names, some kids that have got some serious ability to not just represent their side in MLS play, but for us writ large one day. Taylor.
Rich, the reason why I'm so passionate about this league is about 6 years ago, the owners came together and they said, listen, we understand the magnitude of Zlatan, Messi, Beckham, Robbie Keane, Didier Drogba, and all of those names. But when Lampard, Gerrard, and those guys came over and they didn't really do well, there was a needed to they needed to reset. They have spent real money on young players now making Major League Soccer their league of choice to then move on to the Premier League, La Liga, and the Bundesliga. LAFC signed an 18-year-old from Venezuela where the Guardian listed him as the best player in the world under the age of 18. David Martinez is a special player. How the heck LAFC convinced him not to go to Ajax, Bayern Munich, and other teams, come to them first before he goes there. Fantastic one. Seattle Sounders, Pedro de la Vega. Another player that at the time you're saying there's no way he's going to go to the Pacific Northwest. They spend $7 million plus. Guess what? He's now there. You've got guys here in Miami, Tomas Aviles, Diego Gomez, who scored 5 goals in the Olympic qualifying. He'll go to the Olympics for Paraguay. I think he's going to end up moving. Thiago Almada is a World Cup winning player. He stayed in Atlanta. He's probably going to go for 25 to 30 million plus. This league is better now because 5 years ago, Rich, the owner said, hang on a minute. We got to get rid of that stigma. We're a retirement league. We got to now be in a conversation in the world market. They are. The average age for the player signed this offseason was 24, which now all of a sudden you're going to get eyeballs that you weren't going to get because now they want to see your league for the next upcoming star versus the fading star that oftentimes this league wrapped their heads around.
When I said us, I guess I should have been more specific. Americans. What about American kids? What do we have here? Taylor.
I love the fact that you say that because I think that is the most important part to this. As Major League Soccer grows, Rich, we still have to remember in 1996 when this league launched, the sole purpose of this league was to make the American player better.
Right.
And there are so many homegrowns this year that are coming from your local communities that are now going to play for your respective MLS club. Look at Miami. They've got a player in Benjamin Kramaski that is playing for the United States. More than likely, he's going to go to the Olympics for the United States. 5 years ago, he wasn't even on the academy, and now he's riding once a week to training with Lionel Messi. I mean, that's literally how quickly this thing has grown. There are Americans on every single team that are coming from the youth ranks through the pro pathway that, Rich, makes me jealous. I'm only 44 years old. Mm-hmm. That's not that long ago where you and I were having conversations saying, I hope we qualify for the World Cup. I kind of hope for a miracle. Now, all of a sudden, you and I are talking about players at AC Milan, Dortmund, Chelsea, wherever, Barcelona, two Americans starting in a Champions League game this last week with Destiny. You see what I'm saying? There's now all of a sudden a conversation where the U.S. player is expected to operate at a high level. The question is, and you and I don't have enough time, does that translate to the national team? I still think that's a bigger question.
So then the last question I have for you, Taylor Twellman, is what is your opinion, your update, anything you want to say about the U.S. men's national team right now in advance of the World Cup that's around the corner, by the way, with I'm sure the Jets and Giants players will be like, can you leave the grass field when you're done with it. So,
so by the way, if you want to go to MetLife for the World Cup final, I would leave tomorrow. I would leave tomorrow and buy just because you know it's going to. The Super Bowl there, if I recall, was an absolute disaster traffic wise. So they're going to have to figure that out.
We blame New Jersey rapid transit issues on Mike Del Tufo here. Don't worry about it. That's our guy. He'll take the hit. Well, what's your.
I blame you, Mike. Honestly, Rich, it's this way. I would say. This is the most important summer for the U.S. men's national team preparing for the World Cup. You are in your backyard, got Copa America against the most difficult confederation in the world, in my opinion, in South America. They're coming to your backyard. You get a trial run. You get to see what it's like to play in the World Cup in your backyard. How does that translate? You've brought back Greg Berhalter, where many of people are questioning why you did. Mm-hmm. This is a golden generation of player that doesn't have a signature win. You follow where I'm going? This summer, if they make Copa America success and even get to the semifinal, now all of a sudden the likes of you and everyone else on the outside now is going to be talking about it. There's going to be pressure. It's going to be building. The momentum's going to get there. If they lay an egg this summer, then you've got to question whether or not Greg Berhalter should stay for the next 18 months to the World Cup, whether or not you've got to make moves with certain players to get them better situated. Now, all of a sudden, you're building anxiety, the wrong kind, going into a tournament that you're hosting. That's why 2024 Copa America is the most important summer, and I would say 6 weeks leading into the World Cup in about 2 years.
Brother, I always appreciate your passion and your friendship. Thank you for being part of this, and have a blast, man. We'll be tuned in tonight. We'll be tuned in.
I will. I'm going to sleep in Messi's garage tonight. I
don't know. Does he know? Or did he just find out? Did he find out?
It doesn't. No, but his bodyguard does. Google his bodyguard.
Who is that guy? Seriously. So who is that guy?
Honestly, I don't know. But I called Dana White multiple times and I said he'd win easily right now.
I know.
He would single-handedly win right now.
Is that guy just going to take a throw-in one day? You know,
you know what I would love for him to do is if someone gets hurt, just sub him in and see if it works.
Yeah,
sub him in. Play him at center back.
He's right there, and that's what you should do. Just honestly, my opinion is have Messi line up for a corner, and then he steps aside. This dude takes it, and see what happens.
I've gotten the side eye three times that I may or may not have had to change my underwear afterwards. I'm just telling
you. You're chiming in here, Chris?
Okay, his name is Yassine Chueco, and he is a former MMA fighter.
Oh.
He is?
Yes.
How about that?
See, I'll tell you, blind squirrels. I'm going to play black tonight. I mean, that's unbelievable. He really is?
Yeah, Sports Illustrated did a story on him in late August of last year.
There you go.
That kind of explains the ears.
I love it. See, we're leaving you with information after you just impart so much. Appreciate it, Taylor. Thanks again. Have a good time tonight.
Yep. We'll see you, boys.
That's Taylor Twellman. Join him, Jake Zivin, and the rest of the Apple TV crew tonight at 8 Eastern time for Inter Miami hosting Real Salt Lake. That was Rich on the Pitch, presented by Apple TV. Higher stakes, bigger stars. Catch every 2024 match with exclusive content and no local blackouts, available only with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. You have never seen MLS like this.
He's a former Navy SEAL.
That makes sense, too. You like me in my kit up there?
I love that picture.
That's Mitch putting me in my kit.
I was like, are you wearing tights in that picture?
So what if I am?
You normally never see it.
I mean, you know.
Look, I'm not mad.
Don't be mad at
those. At first, I thought you had.
Those are really my calves.
I thought those were your toes out.
Those are my bowling shoes. I don't know what those are.
Those do look like the old school golf spikes.
Yeah, I know. The old spikes.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Him saying, I'm going to stay in Messi's garage tonight. I think Messi just spit up his apple, almond.
That was really funny.
Patisserie. All right, there you go. That's soup to nuts right there. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to revisit that conversation we had about what the Patriots should do at quarterback coming up.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to. Be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Good to see you, gentlemen, right here.
Very much. Good to see you, too, Rich.
Yeah, right back at you. Yeah.
Great to see everyone. Well, not just you, Rich.
I have a friend who, when he sees someone coming towards him, like in a room that he's supposed to know, he can tell I'm supposed to know this person, but I don't. Mm-hmm. He goes, there he is. There he is.
How are you as a ref, though?
Strictly what's called an AR, assistant referee. So I'm the guy who runs on the sideline with the flag.
I thought AR meant whole ref.
Well, that's what...
The shorts are pretty short, too. I mean, they're stocked in length right there.
Look at that ample thigh.
That's a ham hock right there.
Look at that. That's ready for market.
So
you might want to smoke that for a couple days.
You guys want a slice?
Put some hickory around it. You know what I would genuinely love for you as a second career, if you ever decided you wanted a second career? Finally be a broadcaster. Be someone who's calling color. Right?
Rich, maybe you could give me a break.
I mean, that would boost ratings for whatever sport you were talking about.
What if I took over the Rich Eisen show? Yes. Ron Burgundy did help announce the national curling finals in Ottawa, Canada. And they had all these ads for Tim Hortons Coffee, which is a big coffee chain for our Canadian listeners. And I just kept saying, all the signage, I'm like, who the hell is Tim Horton? Who does he think he is?
Is there any possibility that we see a Step Brothers sequel?
We haven't never talked about this face-to-face in public.
No, we haven't.
So let's break some ground here. Are we going to do Step Brothers too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Put up the Photoshop anyway.
Aww, you make sense in that world somehow, Rich.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day. That was a great conversation with those two. No doubt about it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Get the app on a mobile device on your phone and start buying tickets. We know you're probably looking at something to take your family to. Sports, music, comedy, theater events near you. Let us handle this business for you through our partners with Game Time. It's so easy to browse through. You see last minute deals if you need them. They're easy to find and buy tickets for any kind of event in your area. You get views from all seats in the venue. They have a lowest price guarantee. And the best part that I love is the all-in prices. They show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. And you get to make sure your kids say, hey, you want to see the ice? You want to see the stage? You want to see this? What do you think about this seat? And they'll say yes. And you're like, get out of here. No, you say, I love you. I'll buy the tickets for you. And I also have a promo code. That's what I always tell my children. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Again, take the guesswork straight out of buying tickets with Game Time. Terms apply. Create your account. Redeem your code RICH, $20 off right there. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. So did you see Trae Young said that he and Donovan Mitchell were having a conversation on the bench during the All-Star game about how uncompetitive the game was.
Oh, man.
And that Donovan Mitchell came up with an idea on the bench to basically have an announcer on the mic like it's Rucker Park to sort of call people out or be sort
hype
of a say it again,
hype them up a little bit,
hype them up or just be there as a voice for everybody in their arena to hear.
That's
that might actually spur on some sort of competitive activity.
That's interesting.
Now, Trae Young did say that, you know, they were concerned about getting hurt, being injured, and injuring one of your fellow high-priced, high-commodity athletes. But I sat there and thought to myself, really? Like, first of all, I bet you Turner would put the NBA guys right there on the side with microphones in their hands and let the entire arena hear them. Don't you think? Like, yep, Barkley would
absolutely
be here.
Absolutely.
And
they're not going to hold back. We know that.
Right. So that would be it. Or do you go on a – so TV would be all over that. I mean, all over that. Certainly if you get Kevin Hart to be the guy, maybe, with a microphone in his hand.
There you go.
I mean, if you want
Lil Rel. You know what I mean? Like somebody who's really funny.
Right now, you got to put the mic in Cat Williams' hand and let him be the one roasting these guys.
I mean, I don't know if TV would be all into that, but...
Well, there's a delay, right?
Okay.
And he works clean. He can.
No, I but you see what I'm picking
up,
right?
Yeah, for sure. That's a very interesting idea,
but
man.
How long would that last? 1 year? Two?
Well, look, how long has Rucker Park been going on for, like...
Well, I just think these guys, egos involved, it would last 1 year, they think it'd be fun, and then they would get absolutely clowned, and then...
Wouldn't they, somebody in real time not have a find that funny? I mean, how many times have you watched, like, a sports person get roasted, and then somebody doesn't find it funny?
Yeah, or they're, you know, not willing to play along.
I just don't...
Yeah, but if they're roasting you because of your lack of effort, Rich, maybe you'll start trying.
Or how about you just don't have a lack of effort?
Just play in. Just play hard.
Yeah, I mean,
how about that? Like, why do you need somebody to call you out? Like, how about your own sense of pride and dedication to the craft?
I can push back and say maybe those players, that'll come when the game actually counts. I'm just saying maybe that's what their thought is.
That's why I said the other day to Chris Mannix, how about get guys for whom it's a lifelong dream, right, to play in this. I mean, Brunson was that guy too. You know, every year it's instead of the same mix of guys, it's somebody completely new who's ascending into their superstardom.
Yeah. That's why I can't understand, Rich, why Wemby, they didn't make it a point to put him on this team.
Well, I mean,
game.
And that's the whole thing. Like, why don't you expand? You want to expand the roster? Like, what's the point? What's the big deal?
Like, he
like have a
there.
Second bench behind the bench. Like, just tell.
It costs them nothing to just get some young players in
why
there.
Not getting,
who are,
what, right. Why
gonna
not
going to really go after it and play hard and challenge guys?
What, like, league choices? The league gets to choose a few? Because they would have chose Wembanyama for
yeah,
sure.
Without question.
He needed to be there
for the eyeballs. Although. Mannix said it on Monday, and he was right. It did a great rating number. It was up from last year. So viewers and fans watching on TV.
I mean, but I also
didn't
know
really care that it was uncompetitive, or maybe they just wanted to see 200 points, or who knows.
Or I mean, do we know that they stuck throughout?
No,
or did it just peak at
know.
A certain point?
Yeah, I mean, I just
because when you see those numbers for the Super Bowl, you're like, okay. This tracks because the game went to overtime.
Right.
So I don't know how many people stuck around to the third and fourth quarter of that game. And plus, I guess that means more people to talk about how unsatisfying it was. But I guess people could vote with their remotes.
Yeah.
And while I'm on the subject matter of inside the NBA as well, I saw this video today, and it's made around my my X feed.
Twitter.
Of Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles during a commercial break and the conversation that they're having. And it is exactly what inside the NBA would look like if there was no filter on the language that you could use.
Okay.
And it's also exactly what we see on the air, too. They're off the air. They're in commercial break. And at one point, I guess Shaq was talking about how his jersey retirement ceremony in Orlando wasn't on TNT. And it kind of, Charles made it sound like Shaq was offended by that. It was just on NBA TV. And Ernie was like, well, wait a minute. You know, I turned on NBA TV as soon as the game was over just to see your ceremony because I was sure it would be on there. And Charles is like, it was. You know, Shaq just wanted it to be on TNT, and Ernie's like, yeah, but we had a doubleheader that night. And Charles like, exactly. And Shaq's like, I'm not offended. I mean, check, you could see it. And everybody's pointing out like how hilarious these guys are off the air as they are on the air. And that doesn't surprise me one bit because I keep saying in this microphone how I learned at the first time when I showed up on ESPN as a 26-year-old in 1996 that every single successful person I had been watching on SportsCenter was exactly the same off the air as they were on the air. And it taught me that the most successful people are the same. They're genuine. So all four of them, the way they talk to each other and the way they talked with one another, doesn't surprise me that that's how they are off the air at all. Certainly because this is the types of conversations Irv and Mooch, Kurt without the cursing, and me will have off the air. And people are clanking around, and it's a hilarious conversation, and it's four incredibly successful broadcasters being themselves with each other. But all I keep thinking is, how the hell did that get out? How the hell did that get out? Because that would be the first phone call. If an NFL game day morning conversation off the air made it on, did they put it out themselves? I can't imagine they did, Chris. Did they? Is that what you're about to say?
I don't know. I know. I'm trying to decipher where it's coming from and who posted the original clip, because it's over 5 minutes long.
I know. It's a long commercial break, I bet.
Yeah.
Or it might have been during a piece that they were running. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's a private conversation amongst these guys. And my first thought would be...
But it's getting positive, and nobody's really saying anything disparaging about it.
I'm coming from the point of view of being a broadcaster, where the rule we were always taught at Northwestern, Medill School of Journalism, is if you wear a microphone, you are always live. You are always live. And you are somebody who's supposed to lower our microphones during a commercial break.
We have to close like
game
guys.
But sometimes when you're on the road where they keep the mics open, because that's the way you communicate during a commercial break with each other, with your crew, because you don't have a talk back button sometimes on the stick mic, which, by the way, at the Super Bowl this year.
You did.
Well, 10 minutes before the air, I'm like, I've got an 8.5 hour show. How am I going to talk to the guys back in Los Angeles?
They made it work.
They made it work.
The button's on it. Yep.
So these guys are just, how the hell did that get out? That'll be the first call I make is, how the hell did that get out?
Are the mics open? I didn't see it.
They're open.
Oh, yeah. They're very open.
So if the mics are open, that was planned. There's no way they would have kept the mixer would have. I mean, I'm just.
No. But the mixer might have to keep them open because they were talking to each other and they want to talk to. I don't know how they want it during a commercial break.
True.
How the hell did that get out? That was my first thought when I saw that. For sure. Hour two coming up. And I was like holding my breath, like, oh my God, are they going to say something that doesn't speak well? Because, hey, listen, I'll tell everybody, we'll sometimes have conversations off the air just for us having fun that we would never say on the air, ever.
Exactly.
Because it's not suitable for airing.
I learned year one how important that was.
I don't mean to be a buzzkill here. I'm coming from the point of view of being somebody who's on the set. Like, how does a commercial break conversation where you're talking about decisions that are being made by your bosses about what's on the air and what's not on the air, and I love that they're busting each other. That doesn't surprise me at all.
No. That's the real.
Which is what comes through. And the reason why it's positive is because they're funny off the air. They clearly love each other. They bust each other's stones. But I saw that. I was holding my breath throughout the whole 5 minutes. Man, the first thing I would do, call, like, how the hell did that get out? Don't mean to bring anybody down on this. Am I buzzkilling here?
No, I didn't see the video.
So I'm
how many times do you guys have conversations off the air and then I come back on the air after having heard it? I'm like, no, what have you guys been talking about? You're like, nothing.
No. We're quick to be like, we can talk about this, or no, we can't talk about it. That's why
I saw that. I'm like, I was holding my breath for all four of those guys throughout.
I got to find this. I can't find it.
I got it. I just found it. I'll send it to you.
Kevin Fishbane to talk about what's going on with the Bears from The Athletic coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events and people would say to me, oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists and they all respect each other. And I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.